Hello and welcome to the Interfish Podcast, where we bring you the most interesting and compelling seafood news. I'm Editor-in-Chief Drew Cherry, joined by Executive Editor John Fiorillo. We're back from Barcelona, and it was a fantastic show. The numbers were record high for both booths and attendance. And I have to say, this was one of the most exciting shows that we've seen. I think. Why was that? Well, while last year there was a return to quote unquote normal, we weren't quite there yet, and so you could tell this year that everybody made it there. It was buzzing with business, all kinds of deals being made, and just in passing the booths, you could see all kinds of negotiations happening, all kinds of news announced. It was just an excellent show. So it was really fantastic to be there with the Intrafish team, and we uncovered all kinds of stuff and dug up all kinds of great news that's on our website. Now, a couple of things that really jumped out from the event, at least from my perspective, is, you know, the salmon, the Norwegian salmon issue continues to be such an overarching theme. Prices for salmon continue to really pressure the industry, and there was just a lot of discussions about that. You know, the Norwegian tax, not maybe so much about that. I think there is concern about it in the marketplace for sure, but I think the heightened concern in Norway and the concern among investors investing into the farm salmon companies is much higher than the concern out in the marketplace, where people are really worried about the prices. Interestingly enough, just obviously talking to buyers, you're going to hear prices are too high. You know, they're squeezing our margins. They're going to force people out of business, which, by the way, is true. There are companies that are going to the wall, and I think there's some real threats. And you look at results, and you can see that. So it was interesting and rare that that you would hear a CEO of a salmon farming company actually address that, and in particular address it in a magnanimous, I think that's the word, magnanimous way to say, you know what, we need to make sure that that the entire supply chain is benefiting here. Stephen Rafferty, the CEO of Cermaq, told us that salmon prices are too high. It has to be good across buyers, processors, farmers, and right now it's tilted in the wrong direction. So I think that foresight is really important because, you know, we have seen that in recent numbers that have come out in different regions, that sales are sliding. They are dropping as a result of these high prices. You know, let's see how all that tracks, but that was definitely a topic of big concern. Obviously as well, M&A continued to be another big topic while we were there on the floor. Cook and Pescanova's booths were directly across from one another. And it was just kind of interesting to think, well, there we have one company, unless things go sideways on the deal and negotiations. And it just gives you a sense of the size and scope and scale that Cook is going to have both in North America and in Europe, and really all over. It was just another example of just what's happening with that company. And, you know, just in general, I would say that the outlook from most of the industry folks that I talked to, most of the CEOs, that there was a feeling that, okay, yes, it's kind of rough waters right now, but overall, and the long-term trend is up for the industry, and nobody that I talked to was concerned that the seafood industry was headed into any kind of decline. So all in all, I would say really, really a positive show, and gives you a sense that a lot more excitement is to come for the remainder of this year. Now, one thing, and we're going to talk about this today a little more specifically, was the wild salmon sector in Alaska. We've hit on this a couple of times before, and certainly our coverage, we've looked at it a lot. But there was, of course, a record run of sockeye in Bristol Bay last year, while a much lower percentage-wise run in Bristol Bay this upcoming season, still a very strong run and harvest projected. Now, that fish has had trouble finding a home, and that was a topic, especially among Alaskans and other buyers in the UK and in Europe, that while there theoretically would be a demand for the fish, especially with the demand for farm salmon, it really has not materialized. And there were reports that some companies had even shipped product over to Europe, couldn't move it, forced to ship it back or move it to other ports. That is not a good sign and not at all what the industry wants to have on their hands when they're heading into a new season, which will begin at least sort of the wild salmon season kicks off officially in about 10 days. And then the Bristol Bay fishery starts in a couple of months here. But John, over to you. That's enough of a preamble. Let's talk specifically about the Bristol Bay catch and about this glut, and a little bit about what's being done to.
Yeah, this week I spent some time talking to a lot of the big Alaska salmon processors. It's all on background, kind of just to help me understand the situation. And I got to tell you, the mood is dark. And by that, I mean, there's some real concerns financially for some of these companies because of this massive glut that's happening. And you referenced the fish coming back from Europe. I heard that from several of the companies. And there was one example of where when the fish first went over in the fall, I believe, or later in the year last year, it was priced at somewhere around $5.50 a pound. You could probably get that for $2 a pound right now, just because it is that difficult to move it. And we're having inflation over here, but the UK and parts of Europe are also, and that's done the same thing it's done over here, which is drop demand for, in many cases, for seafood. Salmon sales slid in the UK in March by 12.5%. We had a great story on it, and we had this wonderful chart showing the average price per kilo soaring in one direction and the total sales volumes, going in the opposite direction. So, yeah, and more importantly, what will be the outcome of this? Opinions I heard range from some companies won't make it through this season. Other opinions are on the other side that, it's going to be tough. They're going to make it, but, they're going to need cash to kind of carry them through, especially this season. And we'll see. Now, the good news, I guess, if it's good news, is the run is not expected to be a record by any means like it was last year. And we really need to keep in mind how big this run was last year. It was massive. So that gives us a little relief in the sense of, we'll be able to not plug the market a whole bunch further. I mean, obviously, new fish are going to compound some of the problem, but a run of record proportions would, of course, make things way worse. So, yeah, not the rosiest times for the Alaska guys, and especially for the guys who don't have any pollock to back them up. Pollock has been a wonderful saving grace for a couple of them, just because prices are strong in the global whitefish market, and it's given them kind of a place to hide a little bit. But if you don't really have anything beyond salmon, it's tough sledding.
Well, and the context of this year's run, assuming that it bears out, and new statistics released yesterday from the University of Washington are aligned with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game projections. So we are probably looking at about 38 million fish-ish coming in. But sorry, as a catch, 38 million fish caught. Now, that's still, although it's far lower than last year, as you said, John. It's important to note it still is higher. It's or sorry, it's still around in line with the or higher, sorry, than the 20-year average. So it still remains kind of a not a not what we can consider a small run. It's still a sizable run, and so while as you said, it's not maybe going to totally. It could be worse, I guess you could say, if that's the word. It definitely catching all this fish, storing all this fish is going to compound the problems quite a bit. Now, one thing that was interesting is just all the activities that are being done to try to sell and market. And that was one thing the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. In Europe was very, aggressive in promoting Alaska salmon, and they were there doing their part. You could see a lot of European, or sorry, a lot of Americans really present there at the booths. Obviously, they want to generate as much interest as they can, not just from Europe, because Barcelona, the show attracts buyers from everywhere. There's been some efforts by ASME and the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association and others to really try to build up this interest. Some of it's been pretty effective, and it's helped. But still, it appears that there's still a lot more that needs to be done to really draw down that inventory. The industry actually now is kind of petitioning the U.S. government, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, to up their purchases, because that's been a really, really critical tool for the Alaska industry over the past years to draw down canned salmon in particular, which has gone into school lunches and such. So I don't know to what effect they'll be successful with that, but what you can say is that the USDA has been purchasing record volumes of fish from US companies. So I think in fiscal year 2023, the award total was over $100 million. So the US government has shown a willingness to purchase, and I think that's going to be really, really important to bring this in line, bring the inventory in line with demand.
Yeah, and ASME and the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association have also put a lot of effort into the retail consumer market here in the US. And I was told by several people, and I've seen, I've seen press along these lines that they have had a lot of success with Costco, Albertsons, and some of the big chains in getting them to finally promote sockeye from last season. There's been a, with inflation, the retailers really drew back their promotional efforts across the board, but seafood was a victim of that. And without some promotion, seafood tends to languish a little bit. It's just the way it is. But, and I've got a funny story that kind of goes along with this, but if you have noticed in the last month or so, a lot of these bigger store chains, including Costco, have been selling sockeye for $9.99 a pound. And Costco, as I'm being told, was the first one to kind of jump on that promotion at the behest of some of the marketing groups. And basically, the other retailers followed suit. And my story about that is this was several weeks ago. My wife called me on the phone. She was at Costco, and my wife doesn't buy seafood. She kind of just leaves that to me to do it. And she said, "Oh my God, you won't believe this. They have like wild salmon from Alaska for only $9 a pound, $9.99 a pound. You can get like a whole side," she said, "for like $12 or something like that." I'm like, "All right, well, grab it first of all." And so, anyways, I didn't think of that really until this week when I talked to a lot of the processors and they gave me the backstory on that. And so it's a small example of how, these could be a lot more if these promotions can be a lot more effective than maybe they get credit for. So, but again, we're going to bring more fish in to an already clogged system. It's going to take, one processor told me it's 2 years to clear this glut out. Now, I don't know if that's correct. I don't know if it was hyperbole, but I have to rely on what the professionals tell me, so.
Well, what's interesting too is there's more competition than ever in the U.S. market for salmon in particular. Farm salmon from Chile and Norway continues to be so popular, continues to grow in demand. You're seeing Chilean companies now moving farm coho into the U.S. market. More, you'll see farm coho actually laying right, which comes in frozen. You're seeing farm coho laying there right alongside wild Alaska salmon in the refresh case. So it's a little bit harder to stand out than it was before. And I mean, this is no it's not a new idea or a new observation, but there is that contrast, of course, between what a thawed out wild salmon looks like against a farm salmon fillet, and the difference, even with the most carefully taken care of fish, is visible. But especially when you have poor handling, which can sometimes, unfortunately, be the case, then you're really setting yourself back. And I know this is such a frustration among a lot of fishermen, and among a lot of people across the value chain and a lot of companies. They don't want to stand behind. They don't want to look after all their hard work and look at that fish laying there in the case. That's the last thing any fishing company or any farming company wants to do is go see their fish at the store and see it beaten up or see it gaping or not looking near as good as a rival, as a competitor's fish right there. So, another challenge. Now, I don't know what can be done. And I think that's when these really large runs come in. Depending on how quickly they come in, depending on just the entire system, it can mean that the product forms go in a way that may even be less useful, less profitable for companies. For example, when you get big runs of salmon in Bristol Bay, it's always going to mean, well, not always, but it's typically going to mean a lot more fish is going to be put into cans, because it takes longer to process a fish into a frozen headed and gutted fish, or let alone fillets. So, John, I'm curious what you've been tracking retail trends closely, and some of the numbers that have come out. And I'm curious, is there any signs with frozen? We had our big COVID spike, and we saw people embracing frozen fish, and that seemed like it could be a trend that stuck around. But how's it looking this year? Has chilled and fresh kind of regained its momentum?
In general, no. I mean, in the U.S., the retail sales just they're literally on a volume basis, not on a dollar basis, because that's inflation injected in there. On a volume basis, they continue to fall lower, and it's virtually across the board. Let's see, in March, they were down again. And there doesn't seem to be a turnaround anywhere in the near term. So it's I don't know. I'll tell you one thing I've noticed in the freezer case, the places I've been shopping, it seems the SKUs, the actual number of products, has been cut, and that wasn't the way it was last year. Mid last year to early fall, it seemed like there were more in there than ever. So I don't know if that's just where I shop, or if that's something more systemic. But I wanted to get back quickly to your quality comment, because I don't think anybody would deny this in the salmon industry. Some of the fish that came out of last year's salmon season in the Bay was not good. I mean, not good at all. And why is that? Well, because so much fish came in, and fishermen were put on restrictions, which means they weren't basically told that the processors weren't going to take their fish because the plants were, plugged. Very few processors put fishermen on restriction last year, which means they took all the fish and they had to process them at a breakneck speed, because, I mean, we've never seen that much fish come in one season. So what suffers? Quality suffers, and it did suffer. And that only makes things worse when you're trying to pump maybe not number one quality salmon into a flooded market, but number two or something like that. And that just makes things worse. So there's all of these factors that have combined over since the end of the season last year to make the situation very, very difficult, very complicated. So we'll see, we'll see what's going to happen when the fish start flowing.
Well, there's a lot of companies that are more sophisticated in their marketing than they have been in the past, absolutely. And fishermen as well are more aware of the importance of the market too. So I there is some momentum that I've heard, at least, to work and think in different ways to move product, and to get it in front of the right people, and to build up a market for it. And so there's some interesting potential models to look at. I mean, the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute does a good job, but they aren't species specific. So they promote all of Alaska seafood, and that includes salmon, but they can't really drill down heavy into a single product. The Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, obviously very focused on Bristol Bay salmon, but alone can't make it all happen. Interesting model to look at might be the genuine Alaska pollock producers, who have done, I think, a really good job building up the brand of pollock. And who knows, there could be something there that people will look at, but I'm sure they're kind of eyeing that and thinking about how they might be able to replicate some of that. Because if you remember, John, I mean, there was a period where it seemed like in fast casual dining chains and not fast food, but casual dining and other restaurant chains, that wild salmon seemed to really have its day. This was several years back, but it seemed like there was a lot more willingness, and you saw it on a lot more menus promoted than you have in recent years. I don't know if that's been your impression, but it seems like the shift has been so much more into retail, which is great. They need to build up a market there. But does it seem like you've seen just a little bit? Does it seem like that's fallen away?
Yeah, it's hard to tell. I mean, obviously COVID hit, we lost all that restaurant side of the business, and salmon, you know, as you mentioned, salmon had a nice foothold, still does have a nice foothold in food service. But that side of the business has been slow to come back, and the menus have been pared down, and a lot of the places that sold salmon at the higher prices, those being, you know, fine dining and kind of the independents and some of the casual chains, their numbers have been trimmed significantly. So there just aren't, I guess the easy way to say it, there just aren't that many customers. So those fish have to go somewhere. So yeah, I mean, divert them to retail, and that's fine. But then, you know, consumers get hit with inflation, so that channel starts to constrict. So there's just a lot of, you know, there are a lot of forces at play. It's just amazing. What's that phrase, the perfect storm? I mean, it's kind of what happened here, you know. But I wonder, and maybe we shouldn't go into this territory, but I'm going to take it there anyways. Do we have too many salmon processors in Alaska? I mean, let's start with, yeah, we do. So what happens there? What are we going to see? I mean, is this year and the struggles with the glut and the prices and the financial, is this going to be a year where somebody breaks, somebody falls?
I think yes. Or there's a bargain acquisition to be made. I mean, there's been some processors up there that have really struggled for years. And you can see with some of the people that have gotten out, some of the Japanese companies have sort of said, you know what, enough of this. So I think, yes, I think we will see that from my point of view. And there has to be more consolidation. There just simply has to be. Who that will be, where that will be, who knows? But I will say that there's some interesting things happening with some of these smaller processors. These aren't big processors with a lot of, and they will not become big processors. These are small companies, but they are, I've heard buzz around some of these smaller companies that are doing some interesting things with their product and really kind of positioning their product in a way that gets buyers a little more interested in the story. And so I think there will be room for those smaller groups, but I feel like some of the more industrial, larger processors are going to really struggle. We may see some not exist or get purchased or plants shuttered. I don't know, but yeah, I think we can expect that from what I see. I don't know what your thoughts are, John.
Yeah, that seems like a likely outcome. Now, I guess the caveat being, if they survive the struggles of, you know, last season and make it through this season, they may be okay, you know, for at least the short term. But, you know, if they've had to run and do cash calls and other ways to keep afloat, that is a very tenuous situation. And I mean, I'm not telling them anything they don't know, obviously, but I don't know. I mean, I never, you know, we've been doing this a little bit. I never thought there'd come a day where the Alaska salmon processing sector would significantly shrink to, you know, just a few. It's kind of there, and it kind of could be thinner, you know, in the future. So I don't know. It's well, watch like everybody else, I guess.
Yeah, and it's coming up. Like I said, I think the Copper River, it's always the 15th, right? So we're about 10 days away from the Copper River salmon fishery opening. Without the Salmon 30 salmon, oh no.
Oh,
The Salmon 30 salmon, for those of you that don't know, is a big plane painted like a fish that was part of a big promotional campaign for Copper River. And plane has been painted over. Anyway, so that's beside the point. But Copper River starts in 10 days, and then you get a gauge of what the early appetite is among buyers, not just consumers, but buyers both, for wild salmon. It always explodes out of the gate with high prices, but there's been problems with supply in recent years for Copper River, and we'll see how it bears out this year. But yeah, it's really going to come down to what consumers are willing to pay. And in good times, it's not a big deal to splash out a lot of money for that first wild salmon of the season. Right now, with consumer pocketbooks being a little tighter, that might be a little bit more difficult. Although I will say, John, to your point earlier, before we leave off the demand side, you know, I was looking at the National Restaurant Association and their kind of projections for the return of people to the food service and restaurant sector. And actually, you know, there was a it was a record month in dollar sales. Now, as you pointed out, that can have to do with inflation. It's not all to do with inflation, but it does show that there has been some uptick versus last year, not just based on sales. I mean, in the first quarter, they say here that restaurant sales were 3.2% above the volume in the fourth quarter of 2022. So that's not a small thing. So maybe a little bit of a sign of hope there for restaurants as well. Salmon season kicks in.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, it's improving, but you know, it's just a situation of you basically stopped an entire sales channel for a period of time, and you know, for it to recover and pick up steam and get healthy again. I've seen projections where it's 2025, 2026 before, you know, what some of the observers consider a full recovery. I don't know. Who knows? You know, certainly inflation has slowed things down in that sense, but there's definitely an uptick. You know, but to your point about the new fish coming in, I mean, I'm just from a retailer's perspective, I imagine any fish that comes in, you know, after the fanfare of the first Copper River or whatever, but any sustained supply is going to have to come in at a pretty attractive price point. I mean, I think the Bristol Bay fish is setting that point right now, to be honest with you. And you know, this is we've talked before, and I'm not going to go back on this, but this is a time where a full service case can really do disservice to seafood sales, because I go by, I peek in that case, I see $14.99 a pound for salmon. All I saw was $15, and I go over, and the chicken thing's nine, or you know, 8.50 for, you know, a couple chicken breasts or whatever it may be. That is so It's so deceptive, but that is how consumers think. Now, we've talked about this. I'm seeing more and more, tray packed and just, packed portions. You pick those up and it's $7. Huh, $7. That's a lot better than $15. Yeah, okay, I'll do that. So the point being that when we have a situation like we do, promotions are ever more important, especially if they're targeted at consumers coming by the fresh case who just see $14, $14.99 a pound. I don't know. I don't 15. I don't know if I need a pound. Whatever, $15. I don't have the money. It's just an aside, but that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, that's, as you said, that's just sort of where we are right now. I mean, I think it'll be interesting to see as wild salmon season picks up what we're going to find. And again, with Copper River kicking off, if you don't know about the Copper River phenomenon, by the way, you can go just search on our website and you can see the stories we've written about it and kind of see seasonally what happens with it. But with that kicking off, it's gonna again give us a good sense of what the appetite is. There's always high inflation and it comes crashing down pretty quickly, the prices. But we'll see what the demand is gonna be like and how things go. But right now, really looking at a lot of processors wringing their hands, wondering how to sell a fish that normally is in extremely high demand. It's a funny situation to be in. So, let's see how they address it. There's solutions, surely. So it's going to require some interesting different thinking, I would guess. Well, hey, let's wrap it up there. Until the next time, remember that you can go to interfish.com. Find our work there 24/7. You can sign up for newsletters. You can download our app that is on the iTunes Store as well as on Google Play. And that's a really good way to keep up with us. You can get push notifications for breaking news and easily customize so you can find the news that you want to track. So make sure and do that. All right. Well, from John and myself, thanks, and we'll talk to you next time.